Yeah, this is Joe Eustace. I'm at the Janesville Nursing Home with August Minsky. And August, how old were you on your last birthday?
98.
98 years old. And where were you born, August?
In Iosco Township.
Iosco Township.
Well, yeah, on the farm.
You haven't been too far from home then?
Oh, no.
That's good.
No.
August, another thing I'd like to ask you. For years I've heard of the Minsky murder. Were they any relation of yours?
It was my my first cousin.
Your first cousin.
His father was my uncle.
I see. Can you relate then a little bit about your early life and up through and some of the highlights? I know you have memories that will be lost if we don't get them on tape. Can you tell me a little something about your early life?
Well, I was born on the farm in South Iosco in the year of 1880, October the 5th, 1880. So, of course, I went to country school.
Mm-hmm.
Till I got about 12, 13 years old. Then my parents, they thought it better, send me to the public school in Waseca. So they boarded me with my aunt and uncle, the Stolzes.
Stolzes?
Yeah, Frederick Stolz and...
Yes, I knew him, August.
Did you?
Yes.
He was from New Ulm. He was a bachelor, and he drifted in there, and he got acquainted with my aunt. She was a widow. Her husband was a Hattersall, Chris Hattersall, and he was in the Civil War. And he got transferred out, after the war was over down at Fort Snelling, and there he took sick and died. And then, of course, she was a widow with one girl. Her name was Emma, and she married a fellow by the name of Winland.
Winland?
Winland.
Winland, yeah.
From originally was a family. Alma, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sold out there and moved out to east of Watana on the Havana Road. And of course, there they died,
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are buried in I forget what I call that cemetery in Watana.
How far did you go through school then?
Well, then I stayed in the public school in Waseca until 2 years high.
Oh, good.
There I got disgusted with that blame Latin.
Yeah, I did too.
And I bunched it. They wouldn't teach nothing else. You had to take Latin or quit.
Yeah.
I said, Dickens with this dead language. And what really put me against it was we had a boy there by the name of Jelmer Simons. He was going to the medical school in Minneapolis. And I asked him, I says, Jelmer, tell me, what do you get out of Latin in the medical school? We don't use it, he says.
No.
He says it's a dead language. We have our own Latin in medicine.
That's right.
Well, I says, what's the use of breaking your brain over something that's dead? Well, he says, you will never get no use out of instead of Latin. Nobody can talk it. And so I got disgusted and I quit.
Yeah, the priest can talk it out.
Huh?
Emil, the The Preakin August.
Oh, yes, yeah. They had that mumble, I suppose. Yeah.
Then did you farm, or what did you do for?
Well, then I tell you. My parents moved to Washington, built themselves a home. Of course, I stayed with them, and then I started it in, and I kind of worked around. Well, then my father says, I don't know, I had an older brother, you know, living up in Beadle County in South Dakota. And he got talking to him, my father, and say, he says to him, he says, do you know of a farm around here that's really not very expensive? Yes, he says, we got all kinds of them. Well, then, of course, they got me to go farming in South Dakota. I moved up in the spring of 1908 on an old homestead farm. Bought it, you know, for, I think it was $15.50 an acre at that time.
Quite a difference.
Of course, there was nothing on it, just a bare 160 acres. Well, I moved up in the spring then of 1908 and farmed there in Baxter till 1915. In 1910 to 11, we dried out. Didn't get a doggone thing. My crop, my wheat was just coming out of the jacket, what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you could see the tip of the seed, you know. And in 2 days you couldn't see a doggone thing. It just burned up.
Yeah.
It's just like if it was plowed in the fall. Well, I got disgusted with that. I said, damn it, I said, I'm afraid those dry years are coming. So I kind of spread the rumor around I'd like to sell out. So there was a fellow there. He heard it, and he come up one day to me. He was to town. And on the way home, he dropped over. I was living right on the township, on the county road, but 160 acres. Say, he says to me, I understand you like to sell your 160 acres here. I says, yeah. I says, if I get my price. Well, he says, what are you asking? I says, I want $50 an acre. I says, the crop is good. I didn't tell him what hunch I was working on. He says, I got a brother out of Burton, South Dakota. He's on a rent farm there, and he has to get off. And he'd like to buy up here. Well, I said, send him up. So, run along a couple of weeks, and here a car drove in. I had a little house there in the barn for horses and things like that. And so I stood there by my door and looked at them. Two men got out of the car, one great big fellow, fleshy, and another one. Say, this young fellow says, we came to buy your farm. I says, okay. And, he says, what are you asking? I says, I want $50 an acre, I'll take $4,000 in cash and the other $4,000 on my first mortgage. Well, this Harry Setkel, I found out he was a real estate agent from Brookings. No. Great big, costly guy, you know. And they said he had all kinds of money. So he says to this young fellow, he says, well, that's pretty good. And I says, well, the next question is, how are we going to arrange that? Who's going to go good for all of this? This is a $4,000 cash. Oh, he says, I'll see to that, he says. Well, I thought by God that I'm going to... So I went to the telephone and I called up the banker in town. His name was James. James, I says, I got a man here and another fellow, they want to buy me out. I'd like to find out what circumstances are. He says, what's his name? I asked him and he told me. Oh God, he says, he's a missing to a millionaire, that cuss. He says, but every year, if he gives you a check or anything, grab it, he says. He's good. All right, so we sat down and we made a deal. Sold out. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take my crop and manage to get out here by the first day of September. I said, and have my auction sale by then, you know. And then you come up. He had quite a little livestock, you know, down there at Brookings. Well, we made out the deal, and this real estate man, he gave me a $4,000 check. And then we had the bank in Hitchcock make out the first mortgage, and well, it run along. I had my harvesting done, and all at once, away, this young fella comes up with the whole works, you know. Livestock, horses and cattle, you know, and every goddamn thing. What do you want? Way before. Well, it came on along. Oh, I said, good God, man, you know what the agreement we had. Yeah, but he says, I got kicked out of there, and at Brookings, they sold that farm, and that owner that bought it, he didn't want to get on it. And so what could I do? Well, I says, if that's the case, I says, I think we can arrange it that you can pull in here with your stuff. Of course, I says, I'll have to live with you.
Yeah.
Until the auction comes off, I says, it's already advertised and everything. And so that's what we done. He went, of course, done his fall plowing, you know, and different things, and I had my auction sale and left. All run along a couple of years. All at once, my God, they commence to dry out in South Dakota. Well, the first thing was, you know, in between, I got a a letter from the bank up there in South Dakota. We understand they wrote that you hold the first mortgage on such and such a farm in the sum of $4,000. And that fellow that bought the yard, he went to buy some more land. He thought 160 wasn't enough. He wanted to get at least half a section. He said, he wants us to furnish him with the money. Well, I said, that's okay with me. Yes, but they said we won't let him have it. Not on, as long as you hold the first mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
If we can buy you off them, get hold of the first mortgage, the other $4,000, we'll let them have it. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do with you fellows. You send your money down, and I give them the name of the bank, then what's the key and who to send it to. They had a fellow by the name of Baylor from here. He was the head cashier.
Charlie Baylor.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
I said, I'll have this Mr. Bailey take care of the papers, and if everything is okay, interest paid up. I said, you can have it. You can have the first mortgage. I don't care about it. So they shot it right through, you know.
Well, did you come back to Waseca when you left there?
Huh?
Did you move back to Waseca when you left?
Yeah, I went back to Waseca.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was an alien, you know. He had the dropsy.
What was his first name?
August, too.
Oh, sure.
He was born in the month of August, you know, and so they called him August.
Yeah.
And well, I started in, and I started in working on the railroad.
No.
Had a job, you know, on the section. At that time, you know, we had those two railroads, Northwestern and them and St. L. Well, of course, I got on them and St. L in the section. Worked there, you know. Of course, I only worked through the summer months. The winter, I said, I'm not going to freeze them, myself to death here. I said, driving around here on this old road. So.
They were pretty tough winters back then.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, August, did you ever marry?
No.
You were a bachelor all
life. Bachelor all my life.
Now, are you related to... To George Minsky?
He's my nephew.
Well,
my brother's boy.
Well.
And
Ole? Ole was... Minsky, wasn't he from New Richland? I suppose.
Yeah.
He'd be your nephew too then.
Why, sure. He was a brother to George.
Sure. Well,
tell
me something about this Minsky murder.
That's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
By golly, you know, it was on a Saturday. He come to Waseca, of course, and bought bread, you know, and stuff like that. He was a bachelor.
Uh-huh.
Living there in the house there all alone, you know. And... So he come home, kind of getting dusk already in the evening. And he had somebody with him, because the farmers there could hear him talking. They drove along. And of course nobody thought anything of it. Run along to the middle of the week. The dog, he had a dog there with him, And he was a yelping and a yowling there at night. Farmers never thought anything of it. So it comes at census time.
At what?
Census, taking the census.
Yes, census.
I don't know, was it the United States or the state census or what? But the census taker came up to a farmer there and next to him by the name of Seawolf. He took all of their names, you know, the families, and he says, who lives over there in those buildings? Oh, this is an old bachelor lives there. Well, it's just a little way. Well, he says, I guess he had a horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
He had that in the barn. Well, he says, I won't bother hitching up, and I'll just walk over and kiss him. He come over there, and when I got here, was the lumber wagon sitting there, and a man laying there by the wagon pole. And God, he says, that's kind of funny, you know. Look, though. My God, he found out the cousin was dead. And of course, whoever was with him had done enough, you know, he put the horses in the barn.
Well.
And he come back to Seawolf and he says, God, he says, I can't take that man at the census. He says, this is why. Why? He says, he's laying out in the yard and the wagon pole, dead, head all crushed in. Well, then they called up the authorities. So never found out, you know. Then everybody, when they spread it around, they rushed over there and looked and fingered everything, you know.
That always hinders the
fingerprint man. He came by, he said, I could put a thousand of them here, he said.
That's too bad.
He says, I can't find out who the dickens. He says, everything is blotched up here.
What year was that about?
Well, so now you got me.
Oh, I see. Was it before the 30s, wasn't it? Somewhere in the 20s.
Let me see, I come back in 15.
There was the Shook one then about that time, too.
And I think that was around 17, I think.
I see.
Around 1917.
I can look in the history of Waseca County.
Yeah.
It's in there, the date, but I thought maybe you remember.
So, of course, we buried him there on our country cemetery, and he's still laying there.
Well, then, how long did you work before you retired?
Well, I tell you, how'd that come about? Come up to, my father was getting kind of worse, you know. He's an invalid and sick. So, that come in 26, in the year of 26. One day he called me in the bedroom, he laid in bed there. August, he says to me, I want you to give a promise from here. I says, what's that, Pa? He says, I won't live very much longer, he says. So he says, when I die, I want you to take care of Mother.
21 years in the same room.
Well, of course, she died. She was a widow woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I moved in and one of her daughters and her husband, they come and bought it. And I lived the rest of what them, you know.
Was that right by the old garage there?
Yeah, the Napa store.
Huh?
You know the Napa store?
Oh, sure.
Well, the first house west.
Well, sure. I guess I do remember you now.
I had a room there facing 14, the street.
Sure. I've lived in Waseca for 50 years, so
yeah.
Now let me ask you this then. You remember back a long time before I was born, but the winters out there in Dakota and some of those rough winters we had seem to have disappeared, don't you think?
Yeah, he's here.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if the winters had any very much effect on it, but it's the dry years.
Yes.
After I left, you know, 15, that poor fellow, you know, bought me out. I think he got three crops. And then he started in drying out. And by God, they dried out there for 5 years straight. And you lost everything.
Yes. Yeah, during the 30s, it was pretty dry out there, too.
Well, at that time I was back in Minneapolis, you know.
Well, now, you've got several nieces and nephews then, but you're the only survivor of your immediate family.
Yeah, well, I tell you, everybody, there's my uncles and aunts, first cousins. They're all dead. And all the members of the family are dead.
You outlived them all.
Yeah.
Did you ever smoke or?
Oh my God, I started in, I guess, when I was 14 years old. My father, he smoked and chewed tobacco, and all of my brothers that were home. And of course I got started
here,
be working with him, you know. Oh, just reach for the hip pocket, take out a big plug of chewing tobacco, and take a bite. Here, have some. And I take one, you know, and that's how I got started, you know. And I've been using tobacco. And smoking, in fact, all the time since I've been 14 years old. I chewed, too, when I was a young man on the farm, you know.
And it didn't kill you, did it?
Case of fire, you know, yeah. Stuff. Then I chewed tobacco.
You ever have a few schnapps?
Oh, I do. Drank off and on, you know, but I can take a drink today and I don't have to take another drink maybe for 6 months.
That's good. See, your memory has stayed good, hasn't it? You feel your health now is pretty generally good, too. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. It isn't bad growing old if you feel good.
So, I'll tell you, I was noticing I was getting kind of dizzy spells for the glass down there in the room. So, I got up, didn't notice very much. I'd cooked my own breakfast, washed my dishes. And I woke the woman up and the kids, they all had to go to school. It got around 7 o'clock. So I thought, well, I'll go stroll uptown. I walked out the back way and across the parking space between the house and that Napa store.
Mm-hmm.
And that supermarket at that time was on the corner. Girl, I was walking along there among the cars, and all at once something hit me in the head or in the brain. And I keeled over, and there I lay in a coma. Didn't know a damn thing. And somebody pulled in there, you know, to park his car. Looked around, Mark, and he laid a man. Well, he didn't know who the hell I was.
No.
So he hollered around there, and he says, there's a man laying here. Anybody know him? Oh, I come up there. My God, they said, we don't know that man. Who he is? So Parma come in here, he was mad, kind of in the relation. He heard about it and he says, I'm going to look at that fellow, maybe I know him. Yeah, he walked up and where I lay, why hell, he says, he lives right here.
Yeah.
In the rooming house here by the store. Well, then they got wild, you know. They called the authorities, and they tried to get me to come too. No go. Hell, they all thought I was going to check out, you know.
Yeah.
So I got a. They picked me up and put me in and took me to the hospital. Put me in bed, strapped me down. I got it about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I come to. Look, Christ, I says, where in the hell am I? Never realized I'd be in the hospital bed. Found out I was laying in the hospital. Just come to. I'd been in a coma all the time from about 8 o'clock on till 3. And then I lay in the hospital there and for a week. And then the doctor said to my nephew, he said, I'll tell you one thing. We got to get that goddamn fellow, that uncle of yours, out of that rooming house. He says, it's the stairway that's doing it. Climbing up and down those stairs, he says, God knows how many times in the day. So they called around, well, that rest home then was Iggy, about taking in, oh God, they says, we're filled full to the rafters. He says, we even got a waiting list.
Yeah.
We can't get him in here. He says, it might be 6 months. Well, then they called up here. They had room for another patient. Yes, he said, they had. Somebody just died on him and left. Well, they says, we got an uncle here. He says, yeah. He has to be, have a hospital care.
Just a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
These fellows are here, you know, they call us. Yeah, they says we can accommodate and bring them over. So, I didn't know anything about all this, you know.
How long you been here then?
I came here last year in the second week in June.
Oh, yeah.
Then.
Well, yeah, he'll be through there in a minute.
Yeah, she's all over. Looked in everybody's room.
There, got that done. Say, August, what nationality is it? Minsky, that's German, isn't it? Descent?
Yeah, full-blooded.
Yeah, I was never sure. It kind of sounded a little bit like it could be Scandinavian.
My parents, you know, was born in Germany,
mm-hmm.
West Prussia, Germany,
mm-hmm.
not far from Berlin.
And they come by
there's a few acres of land, you know. And so,
how many were there in your family then, you, besides your mother and dad? And
well, there was, including my parents and the children, was a whole dozen.
Twelve
of us.
My goodness.
But three of the children died when they were young. Well, the first one, he died in a prairie fire, we call it.
Uh-huh.
All the boys were out there burning brush and stuff. And he was a kid and walking around there, and he wanted to go out there in the spring, of course. And he got, I suppose he must have hit a patch of hot ashes or
sure.
stuff. And he sat down, and his clothes caught a fire. And my father was out there doing something, and when he saw it, my brother was trying to kill the fire by using their hats, and they just vanished.
Well, I sure appreciate this. This will go into the historical, this tape will be in our historical society.
Yeah.
So we'll play that.
That's okay. Ready for lunch.
Yeah, so I sure appreciate this. And
that's okay.
Good meeting you, August, and I've heard about you for many years.
Glad that I can help you.
Yeah,
as much
this is fine. I'm sure people at Wasika will be glad to hear this tape.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're